Welcome to the first episode of the Acoustic Guitar Podcast.
We are so excited to explore the world of acoustic guitars with you.
I'm Nick Grizzle.
And I'm Jeffrey Pepper Rogers.
And in this first episode, we're going to be sharing stories of your first guitars.
Everyone starts their journey differently, but we all shared a desire to get our hands on a guitar and start figuring out how to make music with it.
So we reached out to some of our favorite guitarists, as well as readers of Acoustic Guitar Magazine and AcousticGuitar.com, to ask them to share their stories with us.
This first one comes from Eric Bibb, great roots and blues guitarist and singer.
Hi, folks. This is Eric Bibb. The first guitar that I remember playing that I actually got my little fingers around was my dad's parlor-sized Galliano guitar. Galliano guitars were made probably by the Oscar Schmidt factory in New Jersey. We lived in New York. Okay, a parlor-sized, beautiful Galliano, you know, parlor-sized acoustic guitar. Okay, that was not my instrument. When I was about seven, let's say 3 years later, my parents bought me my first guitar. It was a cheap plywood guitar. The action was too high for my tender fingers, and I really struggled with it. I had a teacher, I think his name was Vic, who taught me that tune, Yellow Bird. The Mills Brothers have a great version. Anyway, that really wasn't my thing. I wanted to actually accompany myself singing, like Odetta, like Pete Seeger, like Josh White, you know, like those folks. Okay, so the next thing that happened was, by the way, I don't have that Galliano guitar, and I don't have that cheapo plywood guitar. My next big guitar moment was Myron Weiss, a great guitar teacher down in Greenwich Village, who I studied classical guitar with. So we learned stuff by Sore and, you know, that kind of stuff, Carcassi. Great stuff. Anyway, I do remember borrowing from my dad's accompanist, Stuart Scharf, a great guitarist, a nylon string Gibson that really became my favorite go-to guitar for a while. And then my friend Tim Utt lent me his Guild 12-string, and that was like the bomb. Gotta go, folks, but love it. Keep playing. Ciao.
Great story. I had a chance to open for Eric Bibb once. Fantastic performer. And from there, we are going to go to Bruce Coburn, who I had the pleasure of interviewing numerous times over the years, and I believe wrote about in the very first issue of Acoustic Guitar in 1990, right up through a recent lesson interview that we did that is included in this brand new book called Play Guitar Like the Great Singer-Songwriters.
My first guitar was one I found in my grandmother's attic closet. We happened to be staying there when I was 14 years old, waiting for the house my father was having built to be finished. And so I had this room up in the attic, and I went rooting through the closet one day, and I found this beat-up cardboard guitar case, and inside was an equally beat-up guitar. Small, dark, scratched-up thing. And it had a raised nut on it for playing Hawaiian style, which I took off, and I could then at least make the strings hit the fingerboard. But I had no idea what to do with it. I'd taken lessons on trumpet and clarinet before that, but knew nothing about guitar. But I started pounding away on it, trying to play rock and roll riffs, and I painted gold stars on the top of it and posed in front of the mirror with it, you know. And my parents got nervous and said, okay, we can give you, we'll support you, we'll get you guitar lessons. You have to promise to take the lessons and learn to play properly, quote unquote, and you have to also promise not to grow sideburns and get a leather jacket. This is 1959, and everyone was worried about the association between rock and roll and teen gangs and stuff like that. So they didn't want me going in that direction. The first lesson I took, the teacher said, you can't learn on that guitar. It's just, it's not good. So I got a K arch top, and I had that for quite a long time. I took lessons on that, and kind of wish I still had it, actually. The first tune I learned to play for myself off the radio, I was, you know, the teacher was teaching me things to play, but I was very proud of myself for being able to figure out Walk, Don't Run. off the radio.
So we have one more artist story to share here. This one's from Courtney Hartman, who's a great young flat picker and kind of indie folk songwriter. And here is her story.
This is Courtney Hartman, and my first guitar was so adorable. I was about 10 or 11, and my parents made it a point to just have a lot of instruments around the house. I was taking violin lessons, but guitar was like this this kind of free reign instrument. And so there was a little Montana guitar that my parents bought in downtown Loveland at a music store. And it was kind of golden red and had nylon strings and was a perfect little size. And the amazing thing is that that guitar, all these years later, still plays in tune and it sounds amazing. And it was so easy to play. I remember just loving how easy it was for my fingers to press down the strings, and have very fond memories of that guitar.
And we actually had a first guitar feature story in the first issue of Acoustic Guitar magazine. Jeff, you were the founding editor of Acoustic Guitar, so you actually worked on that feature.
I did, and that was one of the things we did to kick off the magazine, and so it's great to come back and kick off the podcast with it.
Yeah, and we'll get more on that later. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long were you with the magazine, and what are you doing nowadays?
Yeah, thanks. So I was the founding editor when it was a tiny little company putting out Acoustic Guitar and Strings magazine. I was the editor for the first 10 years and then switched over to be a contributing editor. And I'm called editor at large these days and still doing lots of writing for the magazine. And but I'm a guitar player, songwriter, lifelong since I was a teenager.
So I'm a drummer, but I do have a guitar. It's a Washburn from about 99, 2000, I think. I remember I wanted it because I saw somebody playing this acoustic guitar plugged into an amp with distortion. And I thought that was the coolest sound. Now I hear that, I'm like, that is not the coolest sound. But I wouldn't shut up about it. So my dad, you know, for Christmas months later, got me this acoustic electric Washburn. That's my first guitar story, getting inspired with a sound that I would never do now, but still having the guitar around to play as a constant musical companion.
Oh, I think you ought to get that thing, plug it in, and get it, crank up the distortion, and try it again.
What about you? What was your first guitar?
I had a Sears guitar that my parents gave me when I was 12. That kind of got me started. My older brother, 3 years older, had started when he was around the same age. And so that was actually one of the greatest things about learning, is that we just started doing music together. By the time I was 14 or 15, we were performing and everything. But the Sears guitar didn't last too long. I got a Yamaha that I sort of consider my Yamaha Dreadnought, that I consider sort of my real first guitar. And but I just got to share the sad thing that happened to my very first, the Sears guitar, which is when I was in high school and I got this Yamaha. And so I was going to figured I would just give the Sears guitar to somebody else who would want it. And a friend of mine said, oh yeah, I would love to have that. Can I have it? And so I gave him the guitar, figuring he really wants to learn guitar. I'm doing this nice thing for my friend. And about 10 minutes later, he came back with just the neck of it. And he had just gone and smashed my guitar.
No.
He was into The Who or something. And,
maybe he'd just seen Animal House.
Yeah, I don't know. So that was a little sad, I got to say. Mm. Was not really what I was thinking was going to be the fate of my first guitar. But anyway, got me going.
With our first guitar stories out of the way, let's dive into our first call-in here is Richard Thompson. Jeff, what do you know about Richard Thompson?
Well, he's the incredible triple threat as an amazing songwriter and a guitarist and performer and everything. He kind of blows the fuses of guitarists wherever he goes. He's so skilled, so good. and so witty and all that. So I've loved interviewing him a couple times over the years, and he's a very thoughtful guy. So I'm excited to hear what he had to say about his first guitar.
Well, I'll give you the whole story. So my father was in the police, and he was working in the West End of London where all the guitar shops were. And one of his old army buddies from World War II ran a guitar shop, and they were throwing out this cheap Spanish guitar because the side had split open. And my father said, well, you know, I trained as a joiner, you know, as a house carpenter. You know, I'll take it and I'll fix it up, because, you know, he used to play the guitar before the war, and he was a big Django Reinhardt fan and everything. So he hadn't had a guitar for years. So he brings it home and he glues it up. And by that time, I'm a big guitar fan. You know, everybody in rock and roll was posing, if not playing, a guitar. And my sister also had designs on it as well. And my father, of course, had designs on it. But I kind of grabbed it and possessed it. It was really, you know, it was a cheap nylon strung guitar. It probably cost at retail, you know, at the time about £5, £10. And it did me for a few months. But then I started taking classical guitar lessons. And my teacher said, you know, this is really holding you back. Yeah, you need to convince your parents to get you something better. So after about 6 months, I ditched it and I got a better nylon string guitar. And that did me for a couple of years. And then I got an electric guitar. And then rock and roll possessed me. And the rest is history. So 1960, the British band called The Shadows, a very famous instrumental band, had a number one hit with Apache. So we were all trying to play Apache, and I got the chords down for Apache, and I could play the melody down. And my sister was a big Buddy Holly fan, so trying to play Peggy Sue was another big step, and a very useful step, because it was basically A, D, A, E. And if you could get fluent on those three chords, you're making big progress. So that was all good stuff for me.
Gotta love those songs that help people get started. Some things with just a few notes or a couple of chords and you're off to the races.
Well, we also had some readers write in, not just call in. So we're going to read a few throughout this episode, and apologies if we mispronounce anybody's names. This one is from Lee Spear, who shares her story. And this kind of reminds me of the power of music. She says, my first guitar belonged to one of my older brothers. He had been in a motorcycle accident and wasn't wearing a helmet. Fortunately, no broken bones, but he was pretty beat up during the skid and had almost lost one of his ears. My parents were telling us his fight to keep his ear wasn't going well, and I was just 16 years old at the time. So his guitar was at our house, and I decided I would try to learn to play something to cheer him up, since he couldn't have it in his hospital room. I learned The Sound of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel. I wanted it to sound like their version, so I plucked the strings and didn't strum. He was able to come home a week later, so I played it for him, and he was quiet at the end. Was that okay? I asked. How long have you been playing? He asked. Just this past week. I'm sorry if it wasn't very good. He laughed. It was better than I ever was. You keep the guitar. You can never sell it. Give it back to me if you don't want to play it anymore, okay? That was the beginning of my life with a beautiful companion to manage the ups and downs that we're all dealt. He gave me his G10 Goya, probably made in the 50s. I'm now 63 and I still have the guitar. It has had a little work done on it and I play it fairly often. What a beautiful sound. It always cheers my soul when I play it. Heck, even when I think about it.
Ah, what a sweet story.
Gosh, how do you not smile after hearing something like that, right? We now have a clip from Baji Asad, a great classical guitarist, does so many amazing, innovative things with guitar. I've been fortunate to see her live, and wow, what a fantastic musician.
What about my first guitar? So, I am the sister of Serge and Odair Assad. So when I was born, these two unbelievable musicians were already playing the guitar. So it always had a guitar around the house. But if you asked me as a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always answer, I want to be a dancer. I want to be different. Okay, but when I was 14 years old, my father invited me to play chorinho with him, something that he had done with my brothers many years before. And I said yes, because I had this dream to become closer to daddy, and was through music. But I had no guitar, so Odair let me use one of his guitars. It was a Paul Fisher from England that had a beautiful sound, even if back then I didn't know what a beautiful sound would be. But believe it or not, it has been the guitar I recorded all my albums. So this guitar is my lucky one, is still here with me. And I'm telling you, the sound of it is unbelievable and very easy to play. And interesting to know also that my brothers say that since this guitar became mine, the sound has changed. Nowadays it is more feminine. We can only wonder why, but I think it's nature. So this is it, my impressions about my first guitar.
Hearing her voice there just brought back a great memory of her coming to the acoustic guitar office around probably mid-90s and playing for us in our conference room and leaving us all completely speechless.
Some people got their guitar later in life, but as we know, as we all know, you are never too old to start learning guitar, as Bob Berry says in this next clip.
Rather than being a little kid, a young kid, I'm a senior. I was 70 years old, over 70, when I first ran across my guitar, and it happened to be my wife's brother who had passed away. We had everything in storage, and we opened it up one day to go through it, and lo and behold, there was a classical guitar there. And I thought, you know, that's interesting, and I thought, well, I think I'll mess around a little bit. And so I went and I had it restrung, had it taken care of, and I decided I was going to take lessons. And I started taking lessons and got a little better. I'm still not very good. But it was all because of this guitar in storage that was in mint condition. It just hadn't been opened. We hadn't opened the case. It was there, and we didn't even know what was inside. And there it was. That's my story, and that's how I got started.
I love hearing that story. Somebody just asked me the other day, I said, I always wanted to play, but I feel like I'm too old. You know, am I too old to start playing? And I think I'll point that person to Bob's message here. Good reminder that you can always start.
Yeah, it just takes that one spark of inspiration, and who knows when it's going to come. Never too late to start playing any instrument, especially guitar. In this section, we're going to talk a little bit about your experience putting together that first issue of Acoustic Guitar Magazine, Jeff. As I recall, thumbing through the archives, Sharon Isbin was on the cover.
That's right. Yeah, Sharon was, and she was a columnist in the early years of the magazine. It was great to work with her. And so this was middle of 1990 when first issue came out. And we had a whole bunch of guitarists, an amazing number of guitarists who signed up to get our premiere issue. This magazine we wanted to start. And one of the stories that I put together for that issue was a feature called My First Guitar, where I interviewed a bunch of artists about their stories, like we're doing here. And Sharon shared her story there, but I understand you got a new clip of her talking about her first guitar here, right? We'll go to that next.
I'm Sharon Isbin, and this is the story of my first guitar. I was 9 years old when our family moved to Italy for a year. We lived in the town of Varese, which was near Milano. My brother, who was 7 years older than I, told my parents that he wanted guitar lessons. So they researched this, and then they got very excited when they learned that a guitar teacher and performer named Aldo Minella was commuting twice a week from Milano to Varese, and he had studied with Segovia and was concertizing throughout Italy. So they brought my brother in for the interview, but the moment he saw Aldo's long fingernails on his right hand and learned that this was classical guitar, he said, "No way, my fantasy is to be the next Elvis Presley." But my parents were determined that someone in the family had to study with this guy. This was just too great an opportunity to let go. So out of family duty, I volunteered and thus became a guitarist by default. The next step was to get an instrument. So being a little kid, it had to be made for me. Aldo recommended that we go to visit the guitar maker, Mario Pabé, who lived off in the countryside. I'll never forget climbing a rickety old wooden staircase surrounded by fluffy white chickens squawking away in his farm. We get to the top of the stairs, and there is Mario. He measured my hands, my arms, and he said to my parents, "Come back in a couple of months." We did, and he presented me with this beautiful instrument. I'll never forget being struck by the smell of the wood, that I could cradle it, I could feel the vibrations against my body, and that this was something really personal, made just for me. I couldn't wait to begin my guitar lessons. I still have this instrument, and every once in a while I take it out, and I remember what a beautiful experience it was that my life in music began in Italy.
Now that is like a fairy tale story.
So in putting together this episode, I also dug into some dusty boxes to find tapes of some of the other interviews I did. Again, we're talking 1990, so more than 30 years ago. And wanted to share a couple of clips that were also from those interviews with some musicians who are no longer with us. So this first one comes from Doc Watson, and so great to hear his voice. And I will just apologize for the sound quality here, but these were recorded on the phone with a micro cassette recorder with a lot of buzz and noise, and we've done our best to kind of clean them up to present them to you here. But as I said, it's great to hear the unmistakable voice of Doc.
When I was about 13, one of my brothers borrowed a guitar and brought it home. It was a, let me see, what kind was that thing? A Harmony guitar, arch top. He borrowed that thing and brought it home, and I was fooling around with it one day before my dad went to work one morning. He was drinking his last cup of coffee at breakfast, and he said, "Son, if you'll learn to play a tune on that thing, by the time I get home, I'll go with you to town this coming Saturday, and what you don't have enough in your piggy bank, we'll finish it out. I'll finish it out and we'll find you a guitar." Well, what he didn't know was I learned a chord or two at school that year from an old boy named Paul Montgomery. And by the time he got back, I could play the chords too and sing "When the Roses Bloom in Dixieland." And he says, "Well, I guess we'll have to keep my word." We went to town and we found me a little Stella guitar, a flat top. It's a smaller size. It wasn't a full dreadnought. It was pretty hard to fret, but Lord, I thought I had the king's treasure. And I began to try to learn a few chords and strum a few songs. Learned a pinch about the Carter family style, you know, that style they use, the thumb lead. Anyway, that was my first guitar.
Wow, the king's treasure. God, I love that. That was so cool. I'm glad we have that. Thanks for preserving those micro tapes, Jeff.
My pack rat instincts come in handy sometimes. But the next clip here comes from Michael Hedges. And I had the privilege of meeting up with him several times and going up to his home studio up in Mendocino, California on the coast. a few years before he passed. It's now, end of this year will be the 25th anniversary of the tragic accident that took Michael Hedges from us, but certainly a guitarist who changed everything for a lot of players out there. So it's great to revisit this story of how he got started.
I think it was, I must have been 13, and I wanted to be either Peter or Paul, or Peter, Paul, and Mary. Also, I wanted to be Elvis, I can't remember which. It was been around the time, right around the time I Want to Hold Your Hand came out. My parents got me a Regent or something like that. I remember taking lessons on it, but I had a real tough time with the F chord.
Oh, the F chord seems to be the barrier for everybody.
But the guitar I really remember as being my first guitar that I, you know, played a lot on was a Goya classical guitar, and I learned how to basic finger picking on that, and it was pretty easy to play. I just remember that Goya, you know, I had it a long time.
And there's another Goya. Is it easier to learn on a nylon string than it is on a steel string as your first guitar?
I think it's a pretty common belief that it is, mostly because the strings don't dig into your fingers in quite the same way, big ruts. But I don't know in reality, though, because classical guitars can have pretty wide necks and are can be harder to play in other ways. So it cuts a lot of different ways. I think, you know, the main thing is whatever instrument really grabs you, speaks to you, makes you want to play it is the one you should be playing.
A lot of people got their first guitar for Christmas. So, you know, Santa is definitely a music lover, apparently, as we can hear in this next voicemail from Robin Haynes.
I went to a professional actor training program at the University of Washington. They told us the first week we were there that we had to learn to play a musical instrument. So I went to a friend and asked him to teach me to play the guitar, and I asked my parents for a guitar. They gave me a Kahn student model classical guitar for Christmas, and I used that year. The following summer, I spent $60 on a used Yamaha FG-150, my first steel string guitar, which I still have, and I traded the Kahn classical for a banjo, a K resonator banjo. I think that the other guy got the better half of that deal. I sold the banjo when I graduated from college. That all happened in 1973. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks. Bye.
Here's another one from Jim Horton, who writes in, "My older sister, in about 1962, received an inexpensive Sears guitar for Christmas. I took it over and played the hell out of it. I was really into cowboy songs. We had a luthier in Ann Arbor named Herb David. He had a little shop way in a third floor building. It was a gathering spot for folkies of the era. I started hanging around and listening to the pickers. Herb was a really nice guy, and I bugged him to find me a good guitar. He came up with a Martin 016 New Yorker. It had silk and steel strings, and it was a great folk guitar, and at the time, inexpensive. As a poor student, I sold it to pay the rent a few years later. How I wish I had it now." Here's another reader write-in from Sandy Schertz. She says, "I received my first guitar, a Regal classical guitar, for Christmas from my parents in 1966 when I was 13 years old. For a year before this, my older sister and I would sit on the back porch, she on her guitar and me on my ukulele, playing folk and campfire songs. I found the transition from ukulele to guitar very easy. I'm now learning jazz chords and still have my prized classical guitar. It has wonderful tone."
And here's a story from Walter Shank Jr. "My first guitar was a Christmas present at age 12 or 13. It was a $19.95 Sears Silvertone. I think it was made out of some type of compressed wood, maybe even a type of heavy compressed cardboard in places. The sound and playability was poor, but I took lessons for a year and learned how to read notes and play the first 5 books of the Alfred's Basic Guitar Method. I paid for the lessons by helping out at the music store and mowing their lawn areas. Unfortunately, my career choice and subsequent practice demands kept me away from further study until fairly recently. Since retirement, I progressed from where I left off with a few much nicer guitars and enjoy it immensely. My love for guitar started at a very early age, listening to Chet Atkins, and never diminished.
Here's a story from Barrett Hurwitz, who writes in, "It was Christmas 1965 when the family visited my mother's sister and her husband, my Uncle Arthur. He'd been trying to play guitar for years, wholly unsuccessfully, and he owned a cheap guitar with poor action. I wanted to learn and figured I could teach myself, maybe with a little help from a friend who could play, but Uncle Arthur knew better. You need lessons and can't teach yourself. But I felt confident, so I borrowed my uncle's guitar and took it home, convincing my father I could do it. For about a month, I played and practiced and learned chords and rudimentary Travis picking until I proved to my father I could play and deserved my own guitar. My dad was generous and encouraging, so we visited our local Tony Pacheco's guitar studio, where I set my eyes on a beautiful blonde nylon string Espana guitar made in Sweden. Although it was more expensive than the other guitars Tony had, my dad bought it for me. Within 6 months, I had formed a Peter, Paul, and Mary type group, and we entertained at our high school senior class banquet. Although I later switched to steel string guitars and have a collection of 20, I still have and love that nylon string Espana, which I have now owned for 53 years.
So many of these people who wrote in still have their first guitars. That's really great. They were luckier than I was, having my guitar smashed.
You know, some people got their guitar as a gift. Some people got it for Christmas. But let's hear how Tommy Emmanuel got his first guitar.
My first guitar I got for my fourth birthday, so I don't remember it well. I do know that it was a little three-quarter size guitar, and it had cowboys painted on it. I don't remember what brand it was. But it was pretty cheap, obviously. The first thing I learned to play on it was the chords to a Marty Robbins song called Little Green Valley. And my mother used to play it on the steel guitar, and I played the rhythm. And that's my first guitar story.
It makes sense that Tommy Emmanuel would have started at age four, though, because he sounds sort of like he's been playing the guitar since birth.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense, right? Here's another story about a guitar as a gift. This is from Mitch Levine, who writes in, "My first acoustic was a 69 Guild F312 Brazilian 12 string that my then fiance bought as an engagement present in 1970. She is still my wife." He makes sure to put that in there. "And I still have the Guild. It's been through a couple of major overhauls and repairs, but it's built like a tank. I can strum a chord, go for coffee, and it's still singing when I get back. Sunburst finish, just beautiful and well-loved." Jeff, we have heard so many stories about first guitars. When you were putting together that first issue and that feature about my first guitar, you know, did it have a similar feeling to how you're feeling now?
You know, in that case, I was interviewing all these musicians who went on to, you know, be renowned artists in a bunch of different fields. And, you know, they grew up in very different times, very different circumstances, played different kinds of music, but they all, you know, came forward to do this professionally to make their names as musicians. I think what strikes me listening to these stories now and all the great stories that people shared is how, you know, the people, regardless of what they go on to do in their lives, that this connection that gets forged by being introduced to the guitar changes your life and stays with you no matter what you do. And even if you put it aside, don't really do it much for decades, you can come back to it and you can be right back in that space that you were when you were 15 years old and just starting to play. So it's just a reminder to me about how, you know, everybody starts in that place of this sound that grabs you and this desire to make some kind of a sound and you know, the people whose names we never hear of as professional musicians are right in that same zone as the ones who grew up to be legends of the instrument and famous around the world. So it's just a learning, discovering the instrument just changes and enriches your life, I think, wherever you take it or don't take it.
Yeah, it's not about if you have a music career or if you play 1,000 shows or if you become a guitar professor or anything like that. I think it's just about playing it and what it means to you. You know, that's a great point that the players whose names we don't see on the marquee have just as passionate stories as the artists that have gone on to change, you know, guitar playing in one way or another, and that are in a lot of ways household names. It's that bond of that first moment, and a lot of the ways that we get to share that is talking about our first guitars, whether they're the high action K or the Goya or a wonderful handmade instrument specifically for you. Everybody's got that first guitar story, and everybody seems to remember it. That's the thing that stood out to me. It was either very fresh in their mind or they sounded like they were having a good time reminiscing about it.
For sure. And it's really fun for me to hear those stories and think back on it, myself.
Well, that's the end of part one. You can find part two of this first guitar episode at patreon.com/acousticguitarplus. The Acoustic Guitar Podcast is brought to you by the team at Acoustic Guitar Magazine. I'm your host, Nick Grizzle, joined for this episode by Jeffrey Pepper Rogers. Our theme song was composed by Adam Perlmutter and performed for this episode by Jeffrey Pepper Rogers. The Acoustic Guitar Podcast is directed and edited by Joey Lusterman. Tanya Gonzalez is our producer. Executive producers for the Acoustic Guitar Podcast are Lizzie Lusterman and Stephanie Campos Dalbroy. Thank you to everyone who sent recorded messages, left voicemails, and wrote in to share the stories of their first guitar for this episode. We really appreciate it. Eric Bibb, Bruce Coburn, Courtney Hartman, Richard Thompson, Baji Assad, Sharon Isbin, Tommy Emanuel, Dick Boak, and the dozens of readers and fans of Acoustic Guitar Magazine. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to support us, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/acousticguitarplus, or find the link in our show notes for this episode. As a supporter, you'll have access to exclusive bonus episodes along with other special perks. If you're already a patron, thank you so much for your support. Join us again next month for the Acoustic Guitar Podcast, where we chat with Tommy Emanuel in a conversation you definitely don't want to miss. Thank you.